Well, today is Sunday, May the 30th, 2021, and if you would take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Last week when we were together, if you were here, we ended with the very last verses of 2 Peter, where God, by way of Peter, exhorted us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Specifically mentioning the scriptures that Paul wrote, the Word of God, the written Word of God. And so God would have each one of us to continue to, in our own personal lives, to personally continue to grow in our, grow in God's grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the written Word of God. I think you're familiar in Galatians. Paul said that he didn't receive what he was preaching from men, and it wasn't his own words, but that he received it by revelation, and thus what he wrote was by revelation, what God told him to write, the written Word of God. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 36, there's just a great record showing how God did give his Word. You know, God told Jeremiah, get a scroll, write these words, and God told Jeremiah what to write. Jeremiah dictated it to Baruch. Baruch actually physically wrote it on the scroll, and it was the Word of God. That is how we got the Word of God. In 2 Timothy, we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or all Scripture is God-breathed. God spoke what he wanted written. And speaking of that, do you know who wrote the very first written words of God? It wasn't Moses. It was God himself. When Moses went up on the top of the mountain, God wrote on those two tablets. God himself is the first one who ever wrote down the written word. Isn't that interesting? In 2 Peter chapter 1, familiar verse, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God told them what to write, and then what they wrote we call the written Word of God. And verse 20 is so important. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So that means either there is no interpretation or the Bible interprets itself. And that's why we read and study God's Word. I mentioned this a minute ago, 2 Timothy, another familiar verse, 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture, all of it, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, God breathed, and it's profitable. It is absolutely profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine, reproof, and correction are instruction in righteousness. And doctrine, the word literally means teaching, what is taught. And we can read in 1 Timothy about good doctrine, sound doctrine, because not all doctrine, not all things that are taught would necessarily be good or sound. Do you agree? Yes. But rightly understanding the Scriptures is profitable for us to get good, right, or sound doctrine, right teaching. And that's how you and I would know if something is good or right. What is sound doctrine? We would know that by rightly understanding the written Word of God. The Scriptures, that right understanding of the Scriptures shows us what is right to believe. And so let's look at a record in Matthew 15. Matthew 15. I would call it, once again, another interruption. As Jesus Christ went about, as it says in Acts, doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. Jesus Christ was teaching God's word, doing miracles. And then there were these interruptions. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Oh my gosh, such sin. Keep your finger here, because we're going to read the parallel record and go back and forth from Matthew 15 to Mark 7. And of course, as you already know, you probably read this, Jesus Christ did not respond by going, "Oh, I'm really sorry. Hey, you guys, we need to wash now. We don't want to cause trouble here." Not hardly. In Mark chapter 7, verse 1, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, with unwashing hands, "they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding," there it is, "the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables." Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, saying, "Why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but they are eating bread with unwashing hands?" What's wrong with these guys? Keep your finger here and come back up to Matthew chapter 15. We'll go back to Matthew 15. And we're in verse 3. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Wow. And the commandment of God is the written word of God. "For God commanded," and how does God command us? It's in his written word. "God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines," right teaching, right believing, "teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." The tradition among the Pharisees was a person could offer a gift, instead of keeping the commandment, what it said in the Old Testament about honoring father or mother. And very obvious here, they placed tradition above the written word of God. Back to Mark 7, get a little more detail. Mark 7, and we're in verse 6. "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God," that's the written word of God, let's just put that aside. "Laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do." Lots of laying aside of the written word of God for your traditions. "And he said unto them, Full well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said," and he's now going to quote them God's word from Exodus, I believe. "Moses said, Honor your father and mother, And whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect by your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Instead of teaching and promoting the written word of God according to the law of Moses concerning honoring your father and mother, they were saying it's okay for Corban. Corban's a word that means gift, and it's used mostly in terms of giving gifts to the treasury in the temple. Isn't that interesting? They were saying that if you did that, offered a gift, you were free from doing what the law, God's word, the written word of God said concerning honoring your father and mother. And Jesus Christ was very clear here that they were putting their tradition above the word of God, that the tradition that they put above the word of God made the word of God of none effect, laying it aside. Full well, he said. I know this, that the word of God rightly understood is the truth, period. End of discussion, period. And the truth of God's word is more important than how you feel or even what you believe. The word of God is the truth, period. And God gave us his written word, as we read in Timothy a minute ago, to profit us, to give us and show us what's right to believe. And there are a lot of opinions around. There are a lot of different doctrines. There's a lot of religious points of view, theologies, if you will, church doctrines. What is right? Who is right? And wrong doctrine is generally not promoted by disgusting, detestable people who go around saying, this is wrong, this is error. No, not really. Romans 16. At times, they're very persuasive. Romans chapter 16. And in verse 17, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, the right teaching, that sound doctrine, which you have learned. Then it says, avoid them. I like that. It says, avoid them. It doesn't say, get on social media and start blasting away. You know, it just says avoid them. You know, you just graciously excuse yourself. Avoid them. And it says in verse 18, for they that are such that do that, that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. It doesn't say whether it's intentional or not, but it does say they use good words, which means plausible. Oh, well, yeah, I think that makes sense. I think, yeah, that's... And then it says fair speeches. Good words, fair speeches is that word eulogia, where we get eulogy from, which means to praise or flatter, if you like. That's what they do. In Ephesians... It's a little stronger in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, every kind of teaching, this sounds good. No, wait a minute, that sounds good. Back and forth, blowing all over the place. By the sleight of men, now they're being sneaky, aren't they? And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That is their intention. So sometimes it is intentional. They intentionally promote things that are contrary to God's word, the written word of God, the scriptures. And many times they do this to promote an agenda. And they are really promoting the enemy's doctrine, false doctrine. In back up a book to Galatians chapter 5, the people in Galatia had God's word given to them by the Apostle Paul. And in this epistle, he wrote in verse 7, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What happened to you guys? You were walking on God's word, believing God's word. What? Who stepped in? This persuasion comes not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Who did hinder you? Who's speaking things to you that are contrary to God's word?" And I think you know that leaven is not yeast. It's different than yeast. Yeast is used to make things rise. Their bread was flat, you know, round flat bread. Leaven is, it's like a real thin soupy dough that takes days to get ready. And then they take just a little bit of that leaven, put it into the dough to sweeten it. And it permeates the whole loaf there. It's like when you put that leaven in, it's not just the place where you put it in. And that's what it says right there. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Remember when Jesus Christ told his disciples, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And they were like, "Oh my gosh, we forgot to take bread." And he's like, "No. Beware of the doctrine, what they're teaching, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump." You can read in Romans 1 where it says, "They changed the truth of God into a lie." Look at back to Ephesians 4 again. So there's so many different opinions around, right? Lots of doctrines, lots of religious points of view. What is right? Who is right? You know, when you think about it, how many different doctrines are there that are taught in churches about what happens when you die? All kinds of different doctrines. How about baptism? Oh, well, you have to be fully immersed. No, you just need a little splash of water. No, you do, you don't, and all this. Who's right? What is right? You know, people preach about, you know, going to hell, burning forever, not going to hell, going to a temporary hell, all these different doctrines. Even on getting saved, well, you have to do this to get saved. No, you need all of these different doctrines. And then what happens is sometimes when you're talking with people, and I really try to avoid this because it's so easy to get into what I call verse wars. You know, they say this and go, "Well, it says over here," you know, and you go, "Yeah, but it says," and the next thing you know, you're just going verses back and forth. You know, I got into a discussion with a lady a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, you know, I just finally stopped. It was like, okay, I said, "Go read the Bible." You know, you've got to make the time to, you know, study and look at God's word. Well, you know, for example, the topic of baptism, because I was raised in a church that had a certain doctrine, belief concerning baptism. And, you know, when I first got involved in the Bible and learning the Bible, a number of years after that, I don't know how many, I just took the time and looked up every verse in the Bible that has the word baptize, baptizing, baptized, everyone. If you're going to be honest about studying the scriptures, you got to put all the cards on the table. You can't just have my favorite verses and then say, "There's my doctrine," or "That's what my church teaches," or, you know, "This theologian said." That's fine. What does God's word say? So we read this before in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Here's what we do, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We as God's children are to speak the truth. Well, how can we speak the truth if we don't know the truth? Well, we got to find out the truth. How do we know what the truth is? We can only know what the truth is, the right teaching, the sound doctrine. We can only know that from rightly understanding the scriptures, because it's the right understanding of the scriptures, the written word of God, that gives us and shows us what is right to believe. And as I'm sure you're all aware, there's not just church doctrines, but you know, in the cultural upheaval that we're all witnessing in our day and time that we live in, you know, we see and hear things that are from our knowledge of God's word that are very things that are contrary to right believing, sound doctrine. And there are parents that are starting to get involved and pushing back against what schools are teaching their children. And they certainly ought to be. Yeah, I'm going to send my child to this school. I want to know what they're teaching them. And if they are teaching them things that are promoting hatred and division, and as a parent, of course I'm going to push back on that. Why shouldn't I? There's some school teachers that are pushing back too, but at what cost? You know, there's a high school teacher in California who publicly said a biological boy cannot be a girl. He is on leave now. What cost? What cost? Businesses. There are some businesses that have to have now required training. And so, you know, what's the cost to you if you push back, if you're in that situation? And then, you know, it's interesting, the culture we're living in now. There's a lot of people that are living in fear. And they just don't want any trouble. I don't want any confrontation. I just want to, you know, be quiet and go about my life and just behave. Because I don't want anyone calling me a racist, right? I don't want to get canceled, you know. There's a lot of fear. And, you know, there are people that are leaning toward having the government take care of everything in my life. You know, give me my money, take care of my medical, give me the, just give me everything, because, you know, then everything's okay, right? It's much easier that way. It's like the children of Israel, you know, when God took the entire nation of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. And at the first problem or whatever, we need to go back to Egypt where we were slaves because the food was good. Remember that one verse? The leeks and the onions we had back. Oh, gosh, we had such good food back there. We were so well taken care of as slaves. Mm. And then, you know, meanwhile, tomorrow's Memorial Day, and remembering those who gave their lives to defend our country and our Constitution and our freedoms. We remember that tomorrow. And our as I'm sure you know, our country, our freedoms, our Constitution is based, I don't care what they say, it is based on solid biblical principles. You know, I have a quote from John Adams. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And of course, our very First Amendment is freedom of religion and freedom of speech, the very First Amendment. And so it is important for born-again ones to know what the Word of God says, the written Word of God, not traditions, not theologies, not nice-sounding phrases, but we need to know and believe what the written Word of God says so that we know what to believe, what is right and what is not right. And then we can choose to believe God's word and not budge, no matter the cost. We're going to 1 Timothy 4. And then, of course, in addition, we join many others praying for those, as someone did earlier today, praying for those in government positions. Those that truly love our country, we pray that God would give them wisdom, God would give them courage to speak which is right, to do what is right. And those that don't like our country anymore, that are in those government positions, we pray for them to be exposed Pray for hearts to change. Pray for, someone prayed this morning for revival in our country. Yes, we do pray for our country. But for us as born-again ones, the priority for us is the written word of God. That's our priority. It says in 1 Timothy 4, "Now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith," from the belief or the right way of believing. Depart from it, meaning they had it. "Depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Wow. Depart. They chose to listen and give heed to doctrines, teachings that are not true, that are not sound. And we all have free will. God gave us all free will. We can believe whatever we want to believe. Yeah, we can believe that a tree is God. We can believe that the sun is God. You know, believe whatever we want to believe. A person can choose to believe sound teaching too, right? We can choose to say, this is what God's word said. That's what I believe, period. In Hebrews chapter 4, God has given us his written word. How blessed we are. And he's given us his written word, as we saw a little bit ago, to profit us, right? To give us and show us what is right to believe. There's a lot of opinions around, a lot of doctrines, a lot of religious points of view. What is right? Who is right? God is right. That's what I know. God's always right. And if I rightly understand what he had written for us and believe that, I'm believing what's right. Verse 2 of Hebrews 4, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith or believing in them that heard it." Just hearing God's word will not profit you. Just reading God's word will not profit you. The hearing or the reading of God's word, his written word, has to be mixed with believing in order for it to profit us. 2 Corinthians 4. You see, believing God's word is accepting it as true and then staying put, not budging. 2 Corinthians 4, because we do have an adversary. And I would say, if you've ever read Genesis 3, he's not very in favor of God's word, spoken or written. In whom, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So, what is my attitude when I read the written word of God? And I'm not talking about listening to a teaching or reading a book or an article about God's word. I'm talking about when I open the book and read. What is my attitude when I read the written word of God? Do I accept the scriptures as the word of God? Is my attitude, if I rightly understand what I'm reading, this is the word of God? That was Jesus' attitude. Look at Matthew 22. I love this verse about Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus Christ spoke many times about the word of God in a number of different ways. And here in Matthew 22, verse 31, this is in the middle of a discussion, I know. "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read," look at this, "have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying," and then he quoted from Exodus. Jesus Christ's opinion of the written word of God was that it's God speaking to you. Isn't that beautiful? It's awesome. I think there's at least seven times where that phrase comes up in the Gospels. Have you not read? Have you not read? Haven't you ever read? You know, and other things that he said. It is written. It is said many times. In fact, verse 22, look at verse or 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Error. That's how people believe error, when they don't have the truth. I mean, it's either the truth or it's not the truth. If you don't have the truth, then guess what? You don't have the truth. So that's a good question that we ask ourselves. What's my opinion of the written word of God? We were in Hebrews 4 a bit ago. Let's go right back there, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. This magnificent verse about the power of God's wonderful word. You know, because really, when you think about it, if this word of God, rightly understood, if this is not the truth, then what is? What do we believe? Well, whatever we want to believe. And some people are like that. Well, I just believe what I think is really right. You know, I'm glad that Bible thing works for you, but I just kind of, you know, do what I feel. Okay. In verse 12, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. Powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And this word of God, you want to talk about cutting through confusion and I'm mixed up and I just don't. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It gets to the heart of matters. It gets to the truth of what is right and what is not when we rightly understand it. This wonderful Word of God. My goodness. Go to John chapter 5. I want to look at one more record of Jesus Christ and him making reference to God's word in John chapter 5. Dealing with another interruption. Let's start in... Let's start in verse 37. And the Father himself... Or John 5:37, the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures. Why don't you look into the word of God? For in them you think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. You will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you. You have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you know, oh, he's a theologian. Oh, he's a this. Oh, somebody comes in his own name. Oh, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Don't think that I'm going to accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. And he's referring to the Word of God, the written Word of God that God gave Moses, that Moses wrote. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, whom you trust. For look at this. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, the written word of God, how shall you believe my words? They did not believe the written word of God. They looked holy, they prayed holy, they sounded holy, they dressed holy. They were so pious and so religious. We must wash our hands before we touch this cup, for oh God, this is what God would have us do. You know, they went through all the motions, and their traditions may have been spiritual sounding, but their traditions laid aside the word of God, made the word of God of none effect. They did not believe the written word of God. When Paul went to Berea, it said that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures whether those things were so. In Thessalonica, it says, when you heard the words, what you heard of us, you received them not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God that effectually works in you that believe. And so, 2 Peter, where we ended last week, 2 Peter 3, I'm going to read these verses again. And 2 Peter 3, verse 15 says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Unstable and unlearned, they wrestle," or literally twist around. They're not receiving what Paul has written in his epistles that didn't come by the will of man. And therefore, they're getting no profit to what Paul wrote. And their attitude toward the rest of the scriptures, well, now it makes sense, doesn't it? They don't receive the rest of the scriptures with any believing either. The written scriptures, I love that in verse 15, it says, according to the wisdom given unto Paul, God told him what to write. All scripture, God breathed. And so he says, "Ye therefore," verse 17, "beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked," we have to not budge once we have God's word, "fall from your own steadfastness, but instead grow," grow, keep growing, "in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." The people mentioned here wrestle or twisted the rest of the scriptures because they didn't believe them. They just didn't accept them as God's word. And they didn't, you know, receive the scriptures mixed with believing, so there was no profit to them. If they would have believed the other scriptures, the written scriptures, then they would have considered and recognized what Paul wrote was God's word as well. It's just like those religious people that we read about in the Gospels that Jesus Christ spoke to. They didn't believe what Moses wrote. They didn't believe the written word of God. I don't care how holy they look, they didn't believe it. They put their traditions above the word of God. If they had believed what Moses had written, they would have recognized Jesus Christ as the Savior because Moses wrote about him. The God of this world blinded their eyes. We've got two more verses. Ephesians 3. It says in verse 4, whereby when you read, in order to read, you got to open the book or the app or the tablet. "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." When we don't understand, when something is not clear to us, we don't know what is right, we keep our head in the book. We keep reading and reading and rereading it, studying it, right? We utilize those wonderful keys that we learn in the foundational class. We read, we understand. Why? So that we can continue to do what God said we should do, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, finally, let's end in 2 Timothy 2. Probably figured we were going to go there sooner or later, right? How blessed and privileged we are to have the entire Bible, the scriptures, all of them, right in our lap, so accessible to us. It's just right there. How many centuries, even after Pentecost, before people could have a Bible? You know, the printing press didn't come around until what, 15-something? 1500? Am I right? Or was it 500? It was 1500. Right? Yeah. 1,500 years after Pentecost.
And nobody what, knew how to read.
And there was nothing. I mean, okay, so there was some scrolls, some copies, whatever, but not accessible to everybody. How privileged we are. We have what shape, what size, what color, kind of paper. We have. You know, there's apps where you can just boom, boom, and look at a different version just like that. Oh my goodness, how blessed we are to have all of God's Word right there in our laps. We are so blessed. We are so privileged. And it certainly is something that we thank God for, His written Word, that we have it, that we don't have to guess and wonder, you know, where are you, God? Who are you? Is this right? Is that right? And so 2 Timothy 2:15, very familiar verse, study, study, study. Oh no, I mean I gotta work? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. Yeah, I guess I gotta work. A workman. And what a joyous work it is to work the scriptures. How rewarding it is, because the Bible is just full of great gems of truth. And sometimes there's a verse that you've read maybe 10, 20 years, and you read it one morning and go, whoa! You know, we've all done that, right?
Yeah.
You know? You know, sometimes Kathy will tell me, you know, wow, I was reading this, and it just got on her. I'll say, hey, I read this verse, and it's like verses we've read before, but it's just, you know what that is? That's growing. Yeah. Growing. So God can continue to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. How blessed we are. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When God's word is rightly understood, we have the truth. We have God's word. And that's why we make the time to read. That's why we make the time to study. And so, as we do that, we continue to ask God to give us wisdom, to open our eyes. God, show me something. God, teach me. And we continue to persevere to the end that we understand what His Word says, and then that Word of God's profitable unto us as to what is right. And so we just keep growing. We keep learning. That's what we're doing. That's what we're, until Christ comes back. I want to keep growing and learning. Because rightly understanding the written scriptures gives us and shows us what's right to believe. And when we know what the Word of God says, what the written Word of God says, when we know what it says and understand it and believe it, I mean, we have to choose to believe it, right? We choose to believe it, and we're free to speak truth to others, right? And for ourselves personally, then we refuse to budge, no matter what the cost. So let's pray. Father God, how thankful we are this morning to have such easy, simple access to your scriptures, that we could read it and understand it. And Father, as someone prayed earlier, we're so thankful for those who have labored in the Word of God that could help us to understand and see and learn and believe your Word. Father, we're so thankful that you are so kind and so gracious. And from a knowledge of your written word, we can understand that we are your children, born again, and that we truly do have all the rights and privileges that your word says that we have. And Father, that we absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is coming back to gather us together, and we will meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Until then, Father, may we, by our own free will, continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for this time in your word this morning, and ask you to bless all of those here and on the phone hookup. And thank you for all that you've given us in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Word of God. Don't you just love it? How blessed we are. Well, this teaching will be posted on my website a little bit later this afternoon, confidenceandjoy.com. Last night's video teaching to the Phoenix Rescue Mission is on the YouTube if you're interested. There's a link on my website, Confidence and Joy, where you can click on YouTube and access those. And unless the Lord returns, we'll be back here again next Sunday here in our house and also on the phone line. So thank you for those of you that joined us on the phone line. I'll be disconnecting. The rest of us here will be hanging out. Have a great, blessed week and enjoy reading the Bible. So God bless you all.